Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host in crime, the infamous, the illustrious, the inevitable,
man,
Jack Barry. The captain is with us today. My friend, how are you?
Gosh, I feel like all of those just still remind me of that RDJ announcement from Comic-Con for some reason.
Oh, yeah, he's Dr. Doom now.
Of like him being Dr. Doom.
That's right. Yeah. Disney knew how bad they had screwed the pooch, and they had to call call Dad and be like, please come save us. Save us from ourselves.
Save us.
Yeah. That'll be they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. It's the only thing that bring people back to theaters. Although, that Deadpool and Wolverine movie, I heard $800 million.
I heard
that's
a stat.
So much money.
That said, it is the highest grossing rated R movie that beat out Passion of the Christ.
Oh, wow.
And some people were going full Beatles on it and saying Deadpool and Wolverine now bigger than Jesus or something
gracious.
Like that. Just all like, don't play that card, guys. Don't play that card right now.
Yeah. Oh, good gracious. Yeah. $800 million. So yeah, Marvel's doing something right. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Marvel. That's for the Patreon. That's what we do over in the Patreon.
Yeah,
true. I did tell Jack that I want sometime in the future, I want there to be a main ep where I just introduce him. Like, we go off script, we go off topic. But
it's going straight,
dude. A riff ep, which we haven't had a riff ep in a while. I feel like once the Patreons took over the riff eps, that's what happened. If you want those riff eps, you got to go join the Patreon. But I want there to be an ep where I'm just introducing Jack to song after song of 1980s Christian metal, like Striper, White Cross, Baron Cross. There are a lot of bands with the name Cross in it. Yeah, 100%. I think that'd be a fun ep. I want our people, you know what? Let us know. Listeners, let us know if you think that'd be fun. Throw it in the comments. Yes or no?
Oh my god.
Yes or no on the Christian metal 80s specifically. It's 80s Christian metal episode. Let us know if you think that'd be fun. But Jack, you have a lot to talk about in this episode. But before you're gonna have to take the lead on this one. But before get to it, as always, my friend, let's get to the good stuff. This week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week, what do you got for us?
I kind of am giving y'all a daily double. Because I feel like we didn't end out our Jack's favorites.
No.
And then we gotta start with August is Four and the brand August is Four. So to round out Jack's favorites from last month, I'm gonna go with for whatever reason, it's August. The cigar brand is actually apostate. Mm. So it kind of worked out that way. And the favorite that I have finally for apostate, so we did the Deseret, yeah. And then I really like the Feathered Serpent from Apostate Cigars.
That's their Candela
so,
one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's their Candela. So it's named after Quetzalcoatl, the Mesoamerican god of antiquity. And so this is, it's unique in that the Dominican-grown Corojo leaf was used. So the wrapper is this Dominican Corojo Candela, which is interesting. So it's like this weird kind of mix of wrapper. And then the binder is Mexican San Andreas. And then the filler is Dominican. Usually these come in, I think these only come in one Vitola sizing, which is 6 1/4 by 46, which is kind of like, it's almost a Lancero, but it's not quite a Lancero. Anyways, these, I have tasted these many a times. They give off kind of like this chocolate, mint chocolate ice cream vibe because of that Candela wrapper. And certain Candela wrappers can give off a really hay, grassy taste. But if you have the right tobacco, they can kind of mix in and give you this kind of like interesting mint chocolate kind of vibe to it. So that's what I've kind of tasted mostly in the cigars. I mean, obviously you're going to get some grass in there from that Candela. Josh, any idea what the MSRP is on this bad boy?
It's in between $13 and $14.
A little higher.
Really?
Actually, between 11 and 13.
So I was a little high, is what you're saying.
You were a little higher.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. All right. That's fair.
Not the pricing is higher than that's what fair. You said. The pricing is actually lower. You said a little bit higher. Yeah, it's usually around 11 to 13 for a single cigar of the Feathered Serpent. Like I said, really good smoke, really good construction on this and the burn as well, too. And then, so that's the Feathered Serpent, okay. Right? Yep. We're going to do August is for AJ Fernandez.
Oh, man.
All right. And we got to give homage to the real OG, yep. To the person who basically, I think, smokes nothing but exclusively. AJ Fernandez New Worlds, which is old Joey Thorne.
Old
dude.
JoJo. That's right. Joe so Thorne introduced we gotta me to AJ Fernandez.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
Mm. Dude, I feel like Jimmy and Joe were just strictly, I feel like they strictly have, like, I feel like they're sponsored secretly by New World.
Yeah.
Like that cigar brand.
Specifically the Box Press.
Because that's all I feel like they smoke. Yeah. Yeah. Box Press Maduro, yeah. Which I think they smoke the Box Press Maduro Robusto, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, I have the Toro up, yeah. Actually, for the sizing on this. And, I mean, it's basically just a strictly Nicaraguan Puro with the tobacco from, I think, yeah, the tobacco is from Jalapa as well, too. So that could have been... actually, the fillers are from Esteli, Contega, and Jalapa. Mm. So this is quite interesting. But yeah, it's pretty much a Nicaraguan Puro. I mean, you're getting the best four main tobaccos of the Nicaraguan region in the New World, whether it be especially the Maduro. So if it's... And the Box Press, I will say, smokes a lot better. I feel like Josh and I can attest to Box Press cigars smoking a lot better.
Yeah.
So if you're going to choose a sizing, we would go with the Box Press, probably Robusto sizing, if you could find it in the New World Maduro. So anyway, got to throw it up to Joey on that one.
Absolutely.
This is going to run you MSRP, I think, last time I checked.
Like 12.
Isn't it between...
It's like It's like 10 to 12.
Is that one specifically 12?
Yeah. 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 It's actually not a very, like, for the price, the stick is really, really good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's really great.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, and I mean, so the difference between, that's a good topic to bring up, because the difference between the Feathered Serpent is that cigar does not have a whole lot of tobacco, but it does have a good taste.
Yeah.
The New World Maduro has a lot of tobacco in it for like a shorter vitola sizing. Yeah. So, I mean, either way you go, I think it's a good thing. So anyway, those are the two cigars. I've spent too much time talking about cigars. I have to now tee up our conversation.
Tee up the conversation.
Next segment.
So Jack, as always, my friend, well done bringing the good stuff to the podcast. And Ed, you can start listening again. I'm just going to start adding. I'm just going to say it every time. Start listening again. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory cigar, or in this case, cigars of the week. And you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So we've got some drama. All right. And it's not just social media drama this time. It's publishing drama.
Oh, yeah.
It's local church drama. Oh, man, it's everything. And I'm at a slight disadvantage because the small things that I have seen about this have just frustrated me to no end. So it literally turned into something that I completely and totally ignored. But you know a little bit more about this whole situation, and the situation we're talking about is a book that was recently published by author Megan, is it Basham? Is that how you say the last name? Basham? Basham?
I think it's Basham. Basham,
something like that. Who is she's a Fox News contributor, right?
Daily Wire.
Daily Wire contributor. Okay, excuse me. Put out a book entitled Shepherds for Sale. Say that five times.
Shepherds for Sale.
Say that five times fast. Shepherds for Sale. And it caused no small amount of drama within the Christian sphere, if you will. So, Jack, I'm going to throw it over to you real quick. Give us a little synopsis for those that aren't in the know of kind of what happened, and then we can dive into how we should, I would say, think biblically about this kind of stuff and whether or not this is even something that should be getting the, I would say, the coverage that it is.
Yeah. I think part of it, too, is to put up front that you kind of have to be, in some sense, a lot of people are going to be like goodwill onlookers to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Some people know what we're talking about. Some people have chosen a side in what we talk about. I think what we're going to talk about today specifically is just how things come to a point when maybe certain things are revealed in a believer's life. Mm. And why I bring that up is because nothing happens by mistake. We talked about it this morning in Lord's Day service, in which we talked about David and Bathsheba and how his choice to sin and commit adultery with Bathsheba was not something that was a one-off. Mm. Like all of a sudden he decided to sin that day.
Right.
No, it was a creep. There was decisions that were made over time that creeped into David's life, that sin was creeping into his life. Mm. So much that the certain person that was preaching in the pulpit this morning for us talked about how creep happens in construction, where water can start creeping in, and especially if it's a dam, and if it starts creeping so much, that dam will literally burst and it will become ineffective.
Yeah, great point.
So, I think that we have to remember that creep can happen in all of our lives. Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to be trying to take sides, even though to a certain effect, I want to take a certain side. I think that a lot of people have just been very much within the whole kind of, you know, being outed in Megan Basham's book and just saying like, you know, this really didn't happen this way.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, like if we're going to talk about other people in the church, we got to get our story right. Like if we're going to talk about them if we're going to document what they believe, like, we have to go to them and just say, did you say this? And are you saying this?
Yeah. Like, because the whole premise of the book, correct me if I'm wrong, was basically her going through a bunch of examples of compromise within the you know, yeah. and I use the term broadly, the evangelical church, right? And kind of going through and seeing how corruption has infiltrated the church, how that's resulted in certain things. But part of the drama was that she not only called out some of the obvious ones that I think Jack and I would probably agree with, but also some that required, I think, a little bit more of a conversation. And I think that's kind of where that outrage happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the hard part of it, too, is, like, I think she brings up, and even some people who have been criticized in her book actually have said, you know, this is an important topic, you know, because I think there are shepherds who are being influenced by money and power kind of technically are for sale. Mm-hmm. And they latch themselves on and become bandwagoners of things that are kind of flash in the pan moments.
Right.
And want to get money and stuff like that. So I think she brings up, I think it's a valid topic, but the way she goes about it, I don't think is striking the right, trying to use a blacksmithing term for some reason. It's not like hitting or molding in the right way. You know, her strikes are not molding, you know, the steel into a right way. So part of it comes from the fact that she is talking about how left-wing politicians are basically hitching their wagons to left-wing ideology in order to get money. Which I can understand that a little bit to a certain degree. I mean,
left-wing politicians or left-wing pastors?
So pastors are attaching themselves to left-wing politics.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Left-wing policies or something along those lines. Right.
Right.
So
yeah, which is a legitimate thing that's happening, and it's a massive problem. Yeah.
So I think she has talked about, if I'm not mistaken, the first chapter in the book, she talks about climate change.
Oh, okay.
And how pastors are kind of latching themselves onto climate change and getting money from certain people or trying to get on the bandwagon of that. And I don't think he wants me to talk about this either, because he put it out in a video in response to this. But she named Gavin Ortland as a certain person who talked about climate change on his videos, right? And it's kind of odd, because I think the way she talks about Gavin in her book is very contrary to Gavin, the person that I see on his YouTube videos, and how he talks about faith, and how he also talks about, like, interaction within a topic.
Sure.
So he really wants dialogue a lot of the times. Like, he's not there to say, if you don't believe in this, like, you are not a true Christian. And I think on a video, if I'm not mistaken, and I've seen it as well, too, getting circulated around, but she makes a clear distinction, saying that he believed in a certain climate change policy. And he was saying that if you don't believe in this, then you're anathema. And so it's like,
doesn't sound like something Gavin would say.
No. Yeah. So then he has to respond, and a lot of people were saying that he was being over the top, that he was being unhinged. Just the videos were just not coming across as being unhinged or anything along those lines.
Gotcha.
So, and then, you know, I think he brought up a good point, too. He's like, you know what? I just want to move forward. I'm just going to address it here on my channel and then just try and move forward, which I think he's taking the high road in that.
Sure.
You know, to just get his name dragged through the mud like that. Like, I think he does want to get done with it, but it does bring up a topic of how does that dam burst affect in just this situation that we see online and in the public happen over a period of time. And like I said, from just our topic this morning about David and the Sheba and just sin creeping in. And I think a lot of it just has to do with your disposition of how you talk about people, how you represent people. And this goes anywhere. This just doesn't go online. This is about how you talk about people in your local church. Do you honor them? Do you talk about them in a correct manner? Or do you slander them? Or do you talk behind their back? Do you gossip about them? Or do you say just certain things and that creep starts to happen and then it just blows up to the effect of maybe they say something online and you just start just blasting them online for something that they say or something that they do. Yeah. And you just want to go to town. So I think there's something to say about that. Mm-hmm. And how we need to guard our hearts against sin's creep in our life.
Right.
If we're not on guard, if we don't have accountability in our life, if there's not pastors to call us out on this, I think those things are like very important to the local church and applicable anywhere in your life as a believer. It's not just like this case necessarily, but if I were to do certain things and write certain things about certain people in my church and I didn't talk to them about what they believed in or even like called them up and just wrote it in a book and just published it mm-hmm. without their knowing, like I would be under church discipline. Let's be honest this, people. So I think that those things are like very important in the church. And when we aren't held accountable for slander, which by the way, if we want to be honest about this, the Westminster, is it the shorter catechism? I can't remember if it's the shorter or the longer. It goes into about the ninth commandment mm-hmm. that has details about this. So if we want to get like confessional on this, we can get confessional on this because one of the confessions actually has like detailed, you know, like point by point stuff talking about the ninth commandment and slandering. So, yeah. It's not a fun topic to talk about, but I think it just brings up the fact that like you have a local church there for you. And it's not just to like, how do I say this? It's not just for your pleasure to have like Christian friends. It's there to actually like become like a guide rail to you and guide rails to you in your life as a believer. Because those people in your local church may as well be ways in which they influence you, in which that you don't see sins creep in your life.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and it's so like the and I guess me looking in on this situation too, as you know, I think both Jack and I come at it from a perspective that I think most people probably do, in that Jack and I don't live our lives primarily in the online social media world. Like Jack and I have real lives with real things that we're dealing with and real churches and real people. Right. And it's not that like, again, I'm not saying these conversations aren't important. Right. But just like Jack is saying, like it always causes me to wonder what would the dialogues look like if we didn't have like this, like social media.
Yeah.
I'm constantly reminded, Jack, how like unable people are, like how unable they are to have decent conversations online. Right. And look, at the end of the day, if Gavin Ortlund believes in climate change or not, I don't care. And some people might say that that's like I'm being, you know, overly simplistic. And sure, yeah, we can have that conversation, but it doesn't affect me.
Like, sure.
I am called to care for the people in my own church, the people around me, the people that God has entrusted me with. And everything that goes on outside is just noise. Like there's just so much noise, and it's discouraging. It's discouraging to see stuff like this where it's like, you know, like, one, I think there's a lack of discernment with people who are given a platform and feel like they need to, you know, go on these crusades against these people. And look, I am all for exposing sin. I'm all for promoting truth. And if there's corruption, then yes, absolutely, we need to root it out, call it for what it is, because it's a plague on the church. Fully agree with that, right? And if Megan's book accomplishes that, then awesome. Praise the Lord. Like, whatever means truth is getting out there to expose, then okay. Sounds good, right? But then you get into the back and forth biting where it's like, well, is this something that I can sign off on? Because it sounds like there's enough work might not have been put into it. And again, people might disagree with that. And I totally understand. But I think my whole takeaway from it is just a sadness that this is what we are choosing to spend our time on. Like, this is what's taking time out of our day. And you have all of these warriors out there with their keyboards and, you know, their thumbs moving a mile a minute to get their hot takes out there. And it, frankly, like, it makes me just unfollow people and mute certain words and just be like, you know what? And like, I feel like what's the movie with Michael Douglas where he goes crazy and he's just shoots every, like, he's got the machine gun. Remember, he's like a mild mannered.
Oh, dude. I know what you're talking about.
What's the,
he has
what's
a high
the name
top.
Of that? Yes. Yes. He dude, he's got like my grandfather, like a World War II paratrooper.
Yeah. He's got a high top and like brimmed glasses.
Yes. Yes.
I think is it Falling Down?
I think it's Falling Down. Yes, that's it.
The breakfast scene where he wants breakfast and he just loses it.
Okay, so that movie, like, that's what I feel like whenever I get on social media is like, you know, the question, like, what radicalized me? It's y'all. It's literally, I get on Twitter and I just see just nothing but bad hot take after bad hot take. And it just makes me like it has created in me a desire for the simplistic of I'm just going to ignore it. If it doesn't affect me, if it's not coming through my doors, if it's not coming through the doors of my church, it's to the point where there is so much noise. There's so much of it. Like, and if people don't have something to be outraged about, they have to create something because it's literally ingrained into our society. I'm honestly to the point, dude, where if it's not coming through the doors of my church, I don't care. Yeah. Y'all fight. Y'all do what you want to do. I've got enough going on. And maybe that's an overly simplistic way to look at it. But again, I feel like Michael Douglas, like you guys put me here. This is where you put me. And yeah. I'm just, it's the only thing I can do because I feel like I'm taking crazy pills over here.
Yeah. Obscurity is bliss, you know?
It is. It really is.
No, I totally get that because this has been a blessing to me in having a coworker who is a believer and a pretty astute one. Mm. So one of my new coworkers, he and I are the only men in our talent acquisition team. And that team is about combined together. I believe it is just shy under 10 people, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So out of 10 people, him and I, and then even within our broader team, which is the whole HR department, I think there's only less than 5 men in that office, in the HR department office. Mm-hmm. So, and to be Christian and to have pretty much a more monergistic, I would say he's an elder in the Evangelical Free Church, but he definitely listens to John Piper a lot. He lives in Minnesota. So of course he has to, you have to listen to John Piper if you live in Minnesota.
I think it's a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, so we were talking about that and he just has, I talked to him about a whole bunch of stuff. He's like, oh, I had no clue who that is or what they, or what it's like, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I think he's in the same boat. Like, obscurity is bliss to a certain point. Like, if it's not coming through, if if a certain person's book is not coming through a local church. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's, I think it's a little bit different because I'm in a big metropolitan area. I mean, big. I mean, one of the bigger metropolitan areas in the state of Washington.
Yeah, for sure.
And every type of person who has been spiritually abused by, you name it, is either like sat in one of our services or has had parents who have abdicated from a certain church to go to another church that is a little bit wonky. I mean, it feels like some certain things, there is like certain things that we're tied to that we're like, ah, crap, we have to address this, you know? But in different ways. It may not be from the front. It may not be from the pulpit, but it may be in conversations that we have or anything along those lines. Sure. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think it does depend upon your proximity, because if you are living in a certain area that I know Josh lives, about less than 1% of the people in your church, or maybe even a person who just comes to maybe attend for a service, is going to talk about the stuff that we might be talking about maybe on this episode. Now it's applicable to talk about like gossip and slander and how
absolutely
we need to take those things as seriously as adultery, as drunkenness, as really big sins as well too. I don't think we should minimize certain sins. I mean, they're all bad across the board, right? Mm-hmm. But in this case, like if we were to throw names out there, like, and if I went to, I mean, depending upon, you know, who I knew maybe at my last church, which was more rural, since there was some people from the same seminary that go to my that old church that I went to back in Ellensburg, which is in the middle of Washington State, they might know what I'm talking about. But does everybody? Probably not. No. Probably not. So, yeah, I think to a certain degree, yeah, obscurity is bliss. And if something is not coming through the doors of my local church, or people are not affected to the point where there needs to be some sort of pastoral guidance or mentoring or discipleship happening in that direction to correct or maybe combat what's being taught or kind of ascribe to, then yeah, like forget about it, like eject that, because you know what? I don't have time for that. and I'm talking from somebody who's a layman, who's not in one of the church offices right now. I've been a deacon before and those are interesting times, but I will say, like, operating in just a layman kind of leader role where I lead a community group and we talk about the scriptures and we talk about various things and how they are applied to us in real life. Yeah, like that stuff, we might get into some conversations that have overlap. But yeah, sometimes obscurity is bliss. So
yeah,
I get it.
It is. It really is. And look, I understand that that can be just as much of a pendulum swing as being all in, right? At the end of the day, we want to be balanced and we want to keep our local church central. And most of the time, that does mean not getting dragged into these silly online stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's something where I think, you know, books like Shepherds for Sale take great discernment to see the truth and also to see maybe where some presuppositions or certain political leanings maybe create more of a conclusion than is actually there. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that there are, it requires wisdom and discernment to engage in a book like that to the point where it can be profitable. And I think a lot of people just take a book like that and swallow it line and sinker and say, like, see, look at all these people. And you know what? Like, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be discerning. We're supposed to be patient. and kind. We're supposed to think the best of people until proven otherwise, right?
And sometimes Twitter just does that for us. Does that heavy lift
for
us
pretty
easily.
Man. Oh, seriously. And like exactly. No, you're
100%
right.
Some people just tell themselves. Let's be honest about it. They just
it's
tell
true.
Them themselves.
Some people just tell on themselves.
Makes it easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. So, you know, my encouragement is to, you know, if you're going to engage in this stuff, then yeah, okay. You know, that's fine. That is your prerogative. Do so with discernment and do so with an understanding that your local church should still remain central, right? It shouldn't distract you and it shouldn't create in you a spirit of division or malice toward your brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Especially if it's a matter of opinion or secondary conviction. Live in unity, live in peace, right? Even though you might disagree with it. Because I'm sure there's a lot that if I sat down with Gavin, who like Jack has said, I've only my interactions with Gavin and just things that I've seen, he seems like a cool dude, you know, but I know that there would be stuff that we would disagree with, probably politically, socially, and theologically, right? But my demeanor toward him should not change, right? And I think that's the problem, is that books like this create camps. And it creates bandwagons where there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And it requires discernment. It requires discernment to engage in that. So be careful with it and show discernment with it. And don't let it distract you from what you're supposed to be doing, because outrage is where the money is. And if somebody can phrase something a certain way or write something a certain way, say something a certain way when they don't have to, because they know the response it's going to get, you know they're going to do it. Because it gets the clicks and it gets the follows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's now who's the shepherd for sale. No, I'm just playing.
Right. Yeah.
Just like, are we the baddies now? Like that gif.
Yeah. Is that us? Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. No, it's
I'm not for sale.
Yeah.
Unless you got some of them premium cigars, then I mean, let's talk sponsorship, right? Oh,
hey, yeah, exactly. Hey, I would say that Gavin has, I would say he's not technically confessionally Reformed Baptist, but he's definitely Baptistic, Credo Baptist leaning, and more on the Calvinistic side of things than anything. And it's just been interesting. I think he's been stand up and saying, like, I would just like to move on. Like, I'm not going to do any more videos on this. I just want to move on and just kind of get this over with. Cause this is taking up just, I think he's trying to play it too, of just like, it's taking up too much time, because he in and of himself serves his church as well too. And he does Sunday school, or certain classes in his local church and some other things as well too. And so I'm sure that he's more focused on, other than like him making YouTube videos and content that way, but he does want to focus on his local church as well too. And so I think the hardest thing is just seeing other Christians take on other Christians in ways that I know does not promote unity, but it's going to cause more division. And it's going to be more political. And if there's anything that I've learned from church history, is that once the church starts making things political instead of over like absolute like teachings about doctrine and stuff like that, it gets like really petty. Petty to the point where you have a schism back in like, you know, the right, you know, at 10, 50, 52, 54, somewhere around there, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's my concern. But then also, like, trying to say, like, the certain things are anathema while other things aren't, right? If we're going to say that certain teaching, okay, if we're deadpan on this and then other stuff is out of bounds, how can we be clear on that when scripture doesn't even talk about climate change, right?
Sure.
If someone were to say, and Gavin didn't say this, but if someone were to say that climate change is like, you have to believe this about climate change or you're anathema, That's a pretty harsh take to do.
Yeah.
Where that's a pretty, I would say, open to debate topic and not one that we can easily define within the confines of scripture. Right. To like, you need that for saving faith and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, man, it's so tough to see Christians go after other Christians. And you just like, it's just like every time you open up Twitter, dude, and just see that stuff, it's like, man, can we have a conversation about this? And so, and there may not be a conversation that comes out of this from those two, from Megan or Gavin, which I wish there were. But yeah, it's just so difficult where we can take stuff online versus going to somebody face to face and having conversations and doing a deep dive into it versus having stuff online back and forths. I think that's where it's helpful to have that, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Difficult stuff to navigate.
Difficult stuff, and life becomes so much more simple when you're focusing on your own people. It really does. I'm not saying you got to go full hermit, but you know, obscurity is bliss, like Jack was saying. It becomes real simple and real easy to make those decisions. You know, it really does. But Jack, my friend, it's time to get out of here. I'm done talking about drama. I want to go over to Patreon and talk about fun stuff. I want to introduce you to some
people.
I want to introduce you to some 1980s Christian metal over on the Podluck. I'm going to show you all the good stuff, man. It's going to be awesome. Why don't you please get us out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's efforts to make the local church central into the believer's life, and especially in topics that get blown up on Twitter and X and stuff like that, you can follow us, send us a question, maybe direct message us about some episode ideas on our sociable platforms. Yes, those dastardly things we call the sociables, the Facebook or the Metaverse. The Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the always interesting, like we talked about, sociable, formerly known as Twitter, the X. I don't know about the X. It's just called X now. I don't know why I called it the X, but anyway, you can follow us on all of those sociable platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Like I said, you can drop us episode ideas if you want us to talk about something. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you want us to clarify things, anything along those lines that we could share on the podcast, or if you want to maybe support us in other ways, Mr. Josh can help you with that. So, Josh.
That's right.
In the spirit of the Olympics, the baton is now passed on to you, sir.
Oh, I like that. Good segue. Excellent. Very, very culturally appropriate, my friend. As always. Yes, there are multiple ways. You can head on over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications if you want to see this podcast as well as listen to it. We are on YouTube. All right. If you're on Spotify or Apple, you can rate the podcast. You can review the podcast. And we do appreciate all of those. Give us those 5 stars for 5 solas. Reformation Month's coming up. I'm telling you, it's on its way. It's creeping. Dude. It's almost here. It's almost here.
You're like Christmas in July. It's like Reformation Month in August. July right now.
August leads to September. September leads to Reformation Month. That's right. It's showing up, baby. We're almost here.
Bing, bang, boom.
Last but not least, we got a Patreon. It's the best Patreon in the business. Exclusive content. We call it the Podluck because it's like a potluck at a local church, only it's a podcast. Podluck. Make me spell it out, why don't you? For $5 a month, a $5 holla, like bonus episodes, exclusive content, amazing, amazing stuff that we all get to. There's a chat that we all get to talk on and share cool stuff and cool pictures. It's the best. For a $5 holla, you too could become a Patreon supporter. And if you do, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.